everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. I'm Dr. Terry, and thanks for listening. I have a wonderful, wonderful program for you today. Now, I know that most of you are looking for a fulfilling relationship, happiness in your life, and inner peace, right? We're all looking for that. Well, it all starts with you. And today's program will teach you how to fly. FLY, or first love yourself. In today's program, you'll discover how easy it is for you to change your habits and beliefs that you've been holding on to for years and fly. Love yourself. My guest today is Lisa Lieberman Wang. Lisa has been helping people take charge of their personal and professional relationships, starting with themselves, for over 25 years. She is a relationship and emotional breakthrough expert and the author of the number one internationally best-selling book, Fine to Fab. She's helped hundreds of thousands of people from around the world overcome lifelong emotional challenges like depression, anxiety, stress, self-sabotage, emotional eating, and sexual abuse so they can live an authentic life, happy, healthy, and free. She's been featured on CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, and the CW as their relationship expert. Now, I met Lisa in person a few months ago at a conference in New York City. Lisa and I were both keynote speakers at the conference, and I met a lot of people who are doing great, great work at the conference, and Lisa was definitely one of them. As soon as I heard her presentation, and then we met in person afterwards and talked, it was instant friendship. I love her book. I love her work. She's passionate, engaging, and extremely smart. So welcome to the program, Lisa. It's so nice to talk to you again.
Terry, I'm excited to be here and spend this time with you and your listeners.
Oh, thank you. Now, how are you doing? I know that you've been so busy these past several months, giving lots of presentations all over the United States. How's it been going?
It's been amazing. I'm truly blessed in ways I never expected. And I really believe that our past sets us up for the present. So I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Where your path is exactly where you're supposed to be. Now, you're a relationship and emotional breakthrough expert. Give listeners a little bit of information about what that means. What's an emotional breakthrough expert?
Where do I start? To start off, I would say that when we start with relationships first, as you said at the very beginning, it's about learning to fly, and fly is first love yourself. You know, no one's going to do anything great or good for someone they don't like. And we need to get to the point where we like ourselves and we love ourselves, so we'll take care of ourselves. And when it comes to a lot of our emotions, emotions are energy in motion. And we have so many misdirected emotions that end up causing us harm, where we might deal with anxiety or depression or stinking thinking. And there are ways to break through that without years of shame, blame, or therapy.
And so stinking thinking, wait, let's go back to that one, Lisa. That is negative thoughts about ourselves or about everything. What's stinking thinking?
I think that was a good way to sum it up. Stinking thinking is perseverating over things that don't serve you, turning around and calling yourself stupid, thinking you're not enough. I remember my old tapes played as I'm not smart enough, pretty enough, rich enough, skinny enough, you know, all those different things. That's stinking thinking. Or the people in your life aren't doing what you want them to do. That's also stinking thinking, to think that we have control over people, places, or things, right?
Right. Absolutely. Now, and listeners are probably sitting back, Lisa, and saying, okay, So what you're saying is that if I don't like myself, if I can't get rid of those negative thoughts about myself, then I can't have a fulfilling relationship, because who's going to love me if I don't love myself? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Very good. So listeners, hear that. You must fly first, love yourself, is what Lisa's saying. Now, I know, Lisa, that you're very open about why you're doing what you're doing, and that you actually started your work to actually fulfill a need in your own personal life. Can you briefly share your story or how you were struggling personally about 25 years ago?
We'd love to. If we go back, the struggling was way before 25 years ago. It was 25 years ago when I stopped the stinking thinking and the hurting myself. But it really goes back to growing up in a traditional dysfunctional family where everyone said disparaging words. And, you know, when people say sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never harm you, I'll disagree with that, being you know, the words that were used and the stories that were told ended up becoming ingrained within me and believing it was true. And, you know, my parents did the best they could with what they knew. My dad was very strict. I thought I was in the military. We had white glove treatment, you know, had to make sure the furniture was clean. Other things were done to leave the house. And he wanted perfect children. I didn't know there was no such thing as perfect children.
Right. You're bound to make mistakes, right?
Yeah. Well, everybody else can. I couldn't.
Right. But you did.
So absolutely
probably
did.
Probably that wasn't a good situation when that happened, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My brother and I definitely went through lots of hurdles to be able to prove ourselves and to be the best. And I guess, you know, and today we can say everything happens for a reason. And it was really all good at the end of the day. But during that time, nothing was good about it. My nickname was AH, which is asshole. And I much would have rather, hearing princess. And that's not what I got. But because my dad being so strict, it kind of led myself and my mom and my brother to kind of hide things. And some of the things that happened is, you know, growing up, you want to, you know, you got to try to please everybody. At least that's what we did. And straight A student, you know, magna cum laude, all the other stuff. In college, what ended up happening is I ended up going out on a date, and I wasn't allowed to date yet, but mom let me, even though dad didn't. And I experienced date rape and, you know, told my mom, and, you know, her trying to protect me said, don't tell your dad, he'll kill you. And that told me I did something bad versus the person did something bad.
Right.
And that was at 16. And it turned out that became a roller coaster. By the time I was 18, I was on ulcer medications. By the time I was in my 20s, I was on 13 medications for asthma, allergies, high blood pressure, depression, chemical imbalance, anxiety, whatever you can name. They had me on drugs. And by the time I was 18, I had a sudden heart attack.
Wow. I did not know that, Lisa. And all because, I mean, it's fascinating as you're telling your story, how much our childhood and the message we get, or the messages we get from our parents and other adults, shape our path so strongly. But I mean, you said, Lisa, that at the beginning of the show, that you are in a great path at the moment, that you feel good about yourself and that you love yourself. So how did you get to where you are now from the story that you're sharing with us?
I think it became a point where I had to stop thinking. And as I say, I think it's funny, you know, when you're in your head, you're dead. When you're in your heart, you're smart. And I like to say, get out of your head, get into your heart. The truth was, is my parents did the best they could. And when I was rushed into the hospital, my dad said something to me that he might have said before, but I never heard him. And what he said was, I love you.
Mm.
And at that moment, it became a very long 13 years of hurting myself, because I figured if you're sick, they're nice to you. Mm-hmm. So I continued that path for a very long time. And what changed was, honestly, it was just really too hard to stay sick. I ended up in being in the hospital, I had lost 30 pounds in 30 days. I was 95 pounds and that I couldn't keep water in my body. And the doctors turned around and said, well, you have control over it. And I didn't know I did. And then that was kind of, again, how we're given information and we don't always use it wisely. Mm-hmm. And I ended up starting a dis-ease. They call it a disease. I call it a dis-ease, Terry. Mm-hmm. And ended up with bulimia, which is when you binge and purge. So right. I started using food to feel better and pacify myself. And my family were all compulsive overeaters. So it was really easy to find the source and the vehicle was there. And it ended up leading to 6 hospitalizations over 13 years at a month at a time. And going back 30 something, 40 years ago, they didn't know what to do with eating disorders. And they put me in right. psychiatric wards with very sick people. There were an 18-year-old didn't belong. And, you know, it gets to the point where you say, again, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And these are cliches, but they're real. And I finally turned around one day and my grandmother was really a big catalyst. She used to say, baby, take care of your mother's daughter, because I was taking care of everyone else but me.
Right, right. Wow, that is a story. Thank you so much for sharing that, Lisa. I actually didn't even know that story in my body. I mean, I feel your pain as you were dealing with it as a very young child. And, you know, interestingly enough, as you've said, Lisa, and I said in the introduction, you're now helping people who are struggling with those exact same challenges. And I know that part of why you wrote the book, which is Fine to Fab, best-selling, internationally best-selling book, was to help others who are experiencing those same struggles. Tell us what the book is about and how it helps people with the challenges that you experienced yourself.
Well, let's start with what FINE stood for. You know, over the years, my family used to say to me, how are you doing, Lisa? And I'd say, fine. And then they'd say, how are you doing? I'd go, fine. And finally, one day I got so frustrated, they said, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. I'm effed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Leave me alone.
Oh, so I love it. Effed up. Sorry. Oops. Insecure, neurotic, and emotional. That's what fine means.
Absolutely. And I realized I'd much rather be fab, and that's fabulous, awesome, beautiful. And I ended up going on a journey some 30 years ago. It was started in figuring out, you know, what's wrong with me. And I sought out help from all these people, spent 13 years in hospitals in traditional therapy and Overeaters Anonymous and Sexual Abuse Anonymous and Bulimia Anonymous and you name it, I was there, Terry. And then traditional therapy, and I still felt like I had a scab. And every time I'd go in for help, we'd remove the scab, I'd leave raw, and I had to start over. So I was seeking out other means of saying there had to be a better way to do this, you know. So I ended up following the likes of Tony Robbins and right. Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and Andy Andrews and Guru Singh and Dr. Bandler and Grinder and Diltz. And I can keep, and we, you know, I can right. keep going on and on. And I spent over $500,000. And fortunately, I was very successful in my career, and I still am. And I just kept spending money looking for the answer to what's wrong with me, and started studying human psychology, which you're so masterful at, which I loved listening to you as well. You're amazing.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. It's true. And what happened is I started, you know, putting it together, and I realized I wasn't alone out there, and I had kept mm-hmm. this a secret for a very long time. I did the work and was helping people, but wasn't very public about it because I've always had a lot of visibility in my career. And then I saw so many other women that, and now men, but it started out with just women, that were so successful in their own rights publicly, but privately were hurting themselves.
Right.
And I said, well, that was me, because on the outside, looking at me, you think I would have had everything together. And then I'd go home and beat myself up or use food or other means or spending or something to feel better. And when I studied the psychology, I realized that there really were a fundamental way we can change this pattern, and it doesn't need to have the years of shame, blame, or therapy. So Fine to Fab, the book, is really 7 secrets to Fab. It's how to break through and overcome self-sabotage, and where people will think willpower or other means will stop, willpower doesn't work. And then they beat themselves up more thinking, see, I can't do that, but they need to understand where it will bring us back to the beginning of the program. We've been programmed from an early age, as young as 5 years old, 55% of our beliefs were formed by well-meaning teachers, preachers, guardians, parents, and so forth. And like I said, they did their best. But then the other 45% was our own programming based on fundamentally shaky foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have these beliefs, which in the middle of the word belief is the word lie, the lies we tell ourselves that really aren't serving. And it may be at the time as a young person it served, but not as an adult. And we need to break through those stories through the 7 secrets. We can do that, and we can come out the other side as going from fine to fab.
Okay, so what you're saying is that we have these beliefs, Lisa, that need to be broken. And we need to break those beliefs in order to get to fabulous, is what you're saying, correct?
Absolutely. It's almost like a seed was planted. We grew a tree, and this tree may not be serving us any longer. And there might be pieces we want to keep, but it might be a good idea to uproot it and plant a new seed and grow a new tree.
And many of those roots have to be more positive statements about ourselves. And so we have gotten those negative statements, those roots in that tree, from our childhood and from other, as you said, well-meaning adults in our life. So before we get to the 7 secrets to Fab, I'm fascinated, though, also about how we as relationship experts, myself included, need to be more vulnerable, need to share our own personal stories, because we're just like everyone else. And I mean, I was fascinated when you were telling your story, because you were public, not sharing that personal, not being vulnerable, not saying, here's where I'm struggling and challenged myself. So I'm fascinated by that. And I have to tell listeners, because I've continued to say that I need to share. And that was very hard and challenging for me as well as a relationship expert. So let's share some of the few of the 7 secrets to Fab then, Lisa. Give us some examples.
Awesome. Well, the first one is acknowledging fear and doubt. You know, how do you actually do anything about something you don't know you're doing, right?
Right.
So kind of shining a light on it and being aware that you're doing it is critical. And I'll just go through them quickly, Terry, and if we can just shine a light on a couple. Taking inventory of life's lessons and beliefs. You know, just like I know that my father was really well-meaning, just wanted to have good kids, but the way in which he did it wasn't actually serving to me at the time. But today I can look back at the story and say, had that not all happened, I wouldn't be who I am doing what I'm doing and have the skill set and knowledge that I have today, right? But taking inventory of where it was, a young person might have been told that in third grade they were stupid at math. And then they took the label of I'm stupid. But you know what? In third grade, chances are you didn't know as much as you do as an adult, but it doesn't mean you're stupid. But they might have made that their story, right? And then breaking through toxic meanings and emotions. There's over 1 million words in the English language. Over 40,000 words describe emotions. And most people live in only a dozen, Terry. A dozen words to describe their emotions.
And most of them are probably negative, too.
80%.
Wow.
Yeah, 80%.
Why can't we remember the positive? The negative stay with us. Those toxic words, as you said, stay with us so much more. So wait, is that the third secret, by the way? So acknowledging fear and doubt is number one. Taking inventory of our beliefs is two. And then breaking through the toxic words are three. Am I correct?
Yeah, breaking through the toxic emotions and meanings are three, yes. And then four is breaking the trance. And I call it a trance because of the fact that it's the unconscious competence. Like, you don't even know you're doing it. And if we go back to Sigmund Freud and we talk about the conscious and unconscious, and you only see the tip of the iceberg, that conscious part, that's our behavior. The unconscious part, the bottom of the iceberg, is why we do what we do. And I like to reference it as a ship. You know, and the ship has your strategies, your habits, your impulses, and your physiological control. And your conscious mind is your war, which is your willpower, analytical thinking, and rational thinking. The challenge is that there's a preconscious, Terry, and I'm sure you know about this. The preconscious actually consists of our halt, which is hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Most of the time, what's happening is people are functioning on automatic, and they don't realize their brain only works in 10-minute increments to actually analyze what's coming next. So short-term decisions end up affecting long-term results. And that's our conscious. Our unconscious mind will always win. And what happens is, if you have an underlying belief that you're not worthy or you're not enough, and a situation comes in, your unconscious mind doesn't know the difference from fact or fiction. Its job is to do it faster and easier to prove you right.
So how do I stop that? How do I break through from that trance?
Well, breaking through the trance happens to be those part of the seven secrets is really first acknowledging that we're doing it, but then we do different things to interrupt the patterns. And the patterns are first, we have to see what the pattern is. It doesn't matter why we're doing something. It matters where we are and where we want to go. Most people waste years in therapy trying to figure out the why. It's more about uncovering the unconscious patterns and behaviors, which is number five. We start to dive in and see what is causing the ship to get rerouted, what's causing us to halt when we're not halting. It's kind of like the point when you look at the chocolate cake and you say, this isn't good for me. That's your conscious mind, right? Your unconscious mind says, your unconscious mind says it's not good for me. Your conscious mind, the war, says, wait a second, it's chocolate. It's an antioxidant. It has eggs in it. We're rationalizing, right? We'll analyze it. It has eggs in it. That's a protein. That's good, right? And we start making something bad good, and that's the conscious. That's the war. And the war will turn around and take down the ship. Make sense?
So that's one of those patterns that I would notice as an individual. So listeners who are listening and saying, wait a minute, how do I figure out my patterns? How do you do that?
It's more than in a minute. It really goes through all the seven secrets. The way you do it is acknowledging the fear and doubt. You take inventory of the life's lessons and beliefs. You break through the toxic meanings and emotions. We break the trance. We uncover the patterns by replacing it with new things. We stop waiting for perfection. And the last one is making peace, practice gratitude, and celebrating. It's all in the book, which is really an unbelievable workbook as well. And it was one of those things I put together because, quite honestly, you know, you can do a lot of work on your own. And if you want supervision, I always call it adult supervision. There's always help and somebody to guide you along the way. But the idea is if we don't know we're doing it, we're not going to change it.
Right. Okay. So all seven of the secrets are the path to feeling fabulous. So I can't just do one or two is what you're saying. And I wanted you to stop and give me an example. I have to go through all of the seven secrets, and they're all explained in your wonderful book, Fine to Fab. Am I correct?
Yes. And you can stop and work on one, and there will be a shift. But if we're looking for a lifelong change, then we need to go through them all.
Excellent. So listeners, I highly recommend Lisa Lieberman Wang's book, Fine to Fab, which goes through, as she said, the seven secrets to feeling fabulous. It also has a workbook. Lisa, before we leave, we just have a few minutes. What do you think is the biggest struggle or hurdle that people are facing these days?
The biggest hurdle is measuring up to expectations that can't be met, is thinking you need to be something you're not.
Excellent. I agree, actually. And we take those expectations and we feel frustrated because we can't meet those expectations. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. I loved talking to you. Again, Lisa Lieberman Wang's book is called Fine to Fab. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Terry, it's been my pleasure. And if anyone gets the book, I will offer them also a free consultation with me. And the value is over $750. So if they would like to question what they've learned in the book or find out how to take it to another level, I'd be happy to support.
Oh, that is wonderful. Listeners, I highly recommend that you take this offer that Lisa has invited you to do. And you can connect with her on her website. She has two, findtofab.com or lisaliebermanwang.com. I really recommend it. You can also follow her on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Lisa Lieberman Wang, and that's LiebermanWang. Thank you, Lisa.
My pleasure. As always,
thanks for listening. I appreciate you, the listener. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationship.